dear friends, welcome to another edition of your favorite weekend character building show, Grave Ethics. My name is Jumobara Isebietoma Miladaka. I am the State Director, National Population Commission, River State Office, and I am your host for today. Just before we begin, let's take an opening message from Her Excellency Justice Mrs. Suzette Eberechi Nyensom Wiki, the initiator of Reef Ethics.
Our wonderful people of River State, welcome to another episode of Reef Ethics on Radio, our character building weekend show. Remember that a river cuts through a rock not because of its power, but its persistence. Work hard in silence. Let success be your noise. This episode is in commemoration of the United Nations World Population Day, which comes up on Wednesday, the 11th of July. This year's theme of the World Population Day, which is Family Planning, Empowering People, Developing Nations, provides an opportunity to highlight the many benefits of family planning. It re-emphasizes the basic human right of individuals to determine freely and responsibly the number and spacing of their children through family planning. Family planning has immediate benefits for the lives and health of mothers and their infants. When a woman can plan her family, she can plan the rest of her life. Equally, family planning is effective in the fight against poverty. It enables parents to plan ahead and devote more of their resources to the education and health of the child. Overall, family planning plays a major role in enhancing maternal health, gender equality, poverty reduction, and good education globally. Considering that 1 in 8 people globally, which is about 900 million people, go to bed hungry every night, poverty reduction is a huge challenge requiring immediate urgent attention at the family level. Poverty is like punishing the innocent for a crime they did not commit and should therefore be resisted by all men and women of goodwill from all nations. We must remember the wise words of Mahatma Gandhi when he said, "Poverty is the worst form of violence against humanity." In the same vein, maternal health is crucial to overall development as it is linked to child health, family health, community health, and well-being. On gender equality, the words of the former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says it all, and I quote, "Gender equality is more than a goal in itself. It is a precondition for meeting the challenge of reducing poverty, promoting sustainable development, and building good governance," unquote. On education, too much cannot be said. According to Nelson Mandela, and I quote, "Education is the most powerful weapon we can use to change the world," unquote. We can see the major significance of family planning and its far-reaching impact on sustainable development. Just as a goal without a plan is just a wish, attempting to build a successful family without family planning is a mere desire. Winston Churchill, among other great leaders, have reiterated the age-old principle that failing to plan means planning to fail. Therefore, family planning is not optional but mandatory for all those who aim towards a successful family legacy. Some people who ignore family planning do so on the basis of following tradition and custom. But you cannot live a successful life by copying what others have done. It is a fact that life issues different question papers to different individuals. Each individual has to have his or her own unique plan to build a successful family. On this World Population Day, coming up on the 11th of July 2017, we must endeavor to spread the word that family planning is a right and not a privilege. We can use population strategically as an engine for growth and development. Our guest speaker today is Mr. Jumbo Baraye M. Daka, State Director, National Population Commission, and he will be sharing insights on family planning, empowering people, developing nations. Please enjoy this episode and do put the lessons learned to good use. Our dear Rivers people, remember to always let your manners speak for you. God bless and keep you and your families, and God bless Rivers State.
Don't run the other man down. Don't wish him bad. No, no. There are better things to do. Better pastimes around. Careless talk is not the right way. Love River State or leave her alone. Don't pull her down. No, no. Think what you can do for her. Engage yourself in meaningful activities. No room for gossips. Do something meaningful.
Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, this is Riv Ethics on Radio, and I am Jumobara Isebietoma Miladaka, your host for today. I will be speaking on population and other related matters, the dynamics involved in population. But before then, for those of us that are laymen, I want us to have a true picture and understanding of what is population. Population is the total number of people living within a country or geographical area at a particular time. Population, in other words, refers to the total number of children, adults, men and women, youths, boys and girls living in a given geographical area, which may be a town, village, or country at a specific time. Now, I want to link this to population census. What is population census? Population census is headcount of all nationals of a country at a particular time. It refers to the counting by government of all children, boys, girls, men, and women, including disabled, in a country at a given period of time. Now, the United Nations defines census of population as the total process of collecting, compiling, and publishing demographic, economic, and social data pertaining at a specific time to all persons in a country. Now, two methods of census taking are de facto or de jure. Now, you may want to know what is de facto. De facto is the process of canvassing by having direct relationship with the respondent, while de jure is interviewing. You now send in the interview papers, then the person now within a particular resident will now answer the questions. In that case, the exercise is done in absentia of the respondent. Without wasting your time, I want us to shift to why population is important. Population is important for many reasons, but three among which is it determines the working population, allocation of resources, and availability of labor. We are now going to speak on the forthcoming World Population Day, which is observed in every 11th July 2017. This year's World Population Day will be observed on the 11th of July 2017. Now, why World Population Day? World Population Day, as proclaimed by the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, is annually observed on July 11th to reaffirm the urgency and importance of population issues. It aims to increase people's awareness on various population issues, such as the importance of family planning, including gender equality, poverty, and maternal health. That is, the forthcoming observance was based on the tremendous interest generated by the deal of $5 billion on 11th of July in 1987 in recognition of the world human population that reached the 5 billion mark then. For more than 20 years, the 11th of July has been an occasion to mark the significance of population trends and related issues. The existing strain of supporting our present population is already causing grievous crimes in the areas of human rights and gender equality. As more people come into a world that is already doing a poor job of taking care of its citizens, there are more and more of them becoming vulnerable to human rights violations such as human trafficking, child labor, early marriage, terrorism, cultism, etc. The current population of Nigeria is 191,695,627 based on United Nations estimate, which is equivalent to 2.55% of the total world population. Nigeria ranks number 7 in the list of countries and dependencies by population. With a growing population, it puts a severe strain on our nation with a slowing economy and declining revenue to provide enough schools, health facilities, etc. Thus, World Population Day reminds us that we are part of an ever-growing world and that there is need to ensure there is a great future ahead for all of us. Now, this year's theme is Family Planning, Empowering People, Developing Nations. This year's celebration coincides with the Family Planning Summit, the second meeting of the Family Planning 2020 initiative, which aims to expand access to voluntary planning, family planning to 120 million additional women to 2020. That is the year 2020. Access to safe, voluntary family planning is a human right. It is also central to gender equality and women's empowerment, and also a key factor in reducing poverty. Investment in making family planning available even in remote areas also yields economic and other gains that can propel development forward. Unfortunately, majority of women, mostly in rural areas, who want to avoid pregnancy are not using safe and effective family planning methods for reasons ranging from lack of access to information, healthcare services, and to lack of support from their partners or communities. Therefore, the day is celebrated worldwide by business groups, community organizations, health organizations, and individuals in many ways. Activities include seminars, discussions, educational information, sessions, talk shows, amongst others. Let's go for a short break. We'll be right back.
Don't sit, there are things to be done.
Every day.
With your bit, the battle will be won.
That's the way.
Be tolerant, be understanding.
Show some care.
Be just and undemanding.
Be sincere.
The road to greatness is rough, but with hard work, we'll surely overcome. Be proud of your state.
Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, this is Rev Ethics on Radio, and I am your host, Jumobarae Sebietoma Mila Daka, your host for today. And I'll be speaking on I'm expanding the scope of why family planning is now the topic for this year's World Population Day. Now, if you look at the population trend, particularly with respect to age distribution, you will discover that those that fall within 0 to 17 and those 60 and above are higher than those within the independent category, which is those within 17 to 60 years. Those within 17 to 60 years are those that are independent because they are employed. They are the working population. And a situation whereby there is stress in the working population, stress in the senders, a situation whereby the dependency ratio is higher, particularly the youthful age, because if we look at the 2006 census, those that fall within the youthful age is of a higher category, that is, they are higher than those that fall within the independent category. Because you discover that a situation whereby little or nothing, no attention is paid to the youthful age, and they continue to depend, you see that there will be continual pressure on those within the independent category. And then it will cause crisis in the system, particularly with respect to the current economic recession. And that is the more reason why there is need to support family planning. So the topic for this year's World Population Day is interesting. Interesting in the sense that it's another way to empower people, to empower those within the less privileged, especially the women, that there is constant pressure from the men. Because most of the time, a situation whereby, for instance, if a man can decide because of his wealth to marry 3 or 4 women, and the woman may not say no whenever he wants to have anything to do with her. And in that category, to increase birth, when a situation whereby birth continue to increase, you see that those that fall within the youthful continue to increase. But a situation whereby there is adequate family measure, particularly through creation of awareness, information, because in most cases, those particularly in the rural area have little or nothing. There is no information. to enable them to know, look, there is need for us, or even healthcare facilities. There is no support from anywhere, even from partners, to assist the women, those in the rural area, even those within the urban centers. So there is need for support, both from the government, the NGO, to assist them, just like what UNIPA is doing. UNIPA is creating awareness amongst us, amongst the populace, the need for family planning. And the more focus is paid, attention is paid to family planning, and the more you see that there will be reduction in the youthful population. Now, purpose of population and housing census. Why population and housing census? One is provision of information on size, distribution, and characteristics of a country's population. And the second is provision of data used for policy making, planning and administration, management and evaluation of programs in education, health, labor force, family planning, housing, transportation, and development. Another reason for population and housing census is demarcation of constituencies and allocation of representations to government bodies. The next is scientific analysis of the distribution and composition of the population. Now let's look at the relationship. Just 2 points I will give. The relationship between population and housing census. One is because the two are closely related. They exist together. Again, the two censuses may be carried out as a single statistical operation. And then the operation of the population census often includes carrying out a housing census. And what are the methods? The methods are by way of canvassing or direct interview. An alternative method is self-enumeration. At this point in time, let us go to a little bit of situation analysis. Now, the situation analysis is that, first, the population in 1991 was 88.9 million. The data is from National Population Commission. Now, this has grown to 140 million in 2006 and was projected to be 178.6 million by 2015. So the dependency ratio of 1991 census is 89 per 100 workers. Then the population density then is 96.1 persons per square kilometers, while urban population is 39% and that of rural is 61%. And you look at it, you see infant mortality rate. Infant mortality rate as at then is 100 per 1,000 live births. And under 5 mortality rate is 201 per 1,000 live births, while maternal mortality ratio is 800 to 1,200 per 100,000 prevalence, to be 5.0%. I want to pick up that of the maternal mortality rate ratio. You see that ratio is on the high side, on the increase. Why? Because of inadequate attention from relevant agencies to support the women. The death rate to women is on the increase during childbirth. It's on the increase because of lack of attention. So I'm appealing to all relevant agencies to pay attention to childbirth because of what women go through whenever they go to the labor room. And again, if you look at it, that of under 5 mortality ratio is on the increase too. Why? The reason is because most of the women, or those that goes into that are married, the age is between 15 and above, the age of marriage. But under normal circumstances, an adult, those within 15 and above, well, we can say it's manageable. But in some cases, you see where a girl of 10 or 12 years will be married by an adult of 55 years. And you see, there is that this problem that is often created, that which we call vaginal fistula. And this problem of vaginal fistula has been on so many women. And you see that it affects them. Either it constrains them in terms of childbirth and so many other things, because it has its own concomitant effect on the fallopian tube, which is not expected under normal circumstances. At this point in time, let's go for a short break. We'll be right back.
Stop the violence against women and girls. Do you know that one in every three women have experienced one form of violence or the other? Violence against women and girls is a crime against humanity. Stop domestic violence, intimate partner violence, harmful widowhood practices, female genital mutilation or cutting. Gang rape is evil. Let's work together by reporting every act of violence that the perpetrators be brought to book. Victims and survivors should call Police Human Rights Department
0812-8075-881, 0803-7821-189, 0817-3412-597.
This message is brought to you by Medical Women's Association of Nigeria, River State Branch, with support from Nigeria Stability and Reconciliation Program, NSRP.
Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, this is Riv Ethics on Radio, and I am Jumabarae Sebietoma Mila Daka, your host for today. Now, I want to move at this point in time to another area, and that is in terms of implementation of plans to integrate family planning into the national curriculum. There has been problem of implementation of projects that will come out, or even the data that is produced from National Population Commission. The information will be given, but at the end of the day, you discover that there is this problem of implementation, and the problem of implementation may not be by the technocrats, may be lack of monitoring. So there has been no implementation of plans to integrate population factors into development planning nationally, and we are not comfortable. There has been no institutionalization of population variables into population decision making and planning. Even when it is done, it is not properly monitored as to achieve the desired results. So I'm using this forum to make an appeal for even when plans or data is given and then it is being institutionalized, there is need for close monitoring for it to give us the desired results. Now let's move to another area, on that is in terms of the history of census. If you look at it, in Nigeria, several population censuses have been taken by government, so many of them. For instance, the census of 1952-53 was given as 31.12 million people. This figure, according to observers at that time, was underestimated at the rate of about 10%. And this was attributed to fear of census figure to be used for taxation, logistics, and inadequately trained enumerators. Then another census again was taken in 1962, and the result was rejected based on allegation of fraud. I just want to give us this history. And this was followed by another exercise in 1963, which yielded 55.6 million. Though this was accepted by population experts, but they're then of the view that the figure is representing an impossibly high population growth rate of 5.8% within a decade, and therefore is not accurate. But another attempt that was made as national headcount was in 1973, which was also cancelled due to allegation of wide-scale fraud. Again, projections on population size were therefore done on the basis of the population census, that is 1963 population. It was actually in 1991 when another population census was conducted by National Population Commission, and the figure was 88 million. It was accepted and has been the basis on which the projected 126 million as at then that Nigerians was made in 2004. Okay, but then why is it that in almost all the censuses so far conducted, even that of 1991, though accepted, but there were eyebrows on falsification of figures or errors? The reason being that three factors account for this. One, illiteracy, lack of enlightenment of the operators of the system. And then two, lack of trust. And then three, lack of proper advocacy or enlightenment. And then this is why preparations are ongoing by way of demarcation, enumeration area demarcation exercises, which too has already been done. People are asking if the possibility of we conducting a credible exercise. But National Population Commission is very sure that at the end of the day, we will be able to deliver.
Dear friends,
This is the much we can take on today's edition of Reef Ethics. I hope it made a difference in our collective effort to make our society a better place. If you missed parts of this episode or wish to download these or previous editions, please visit our website www.reefethics.com to listen to or download all episodes. You're free to share the production with your friends at your school or community. You can join the Reef Ethics family on Facebook or Twitter via at Reef Ethics, and you can call our phone numbers for questions related to these or other editions. The numbers are 0808-917-7707, 0902-917-7706, or send us an email to reefethics@gmail.com. The Reef Ethics radio program currently airs on 5 radio stations in Reef State every Saturday as follows: Nigeria Info 92.3 FM from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Radio Rivers 99.1 FM 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning, with a repeat broadcast same time on Sunday. Rhythm 93.7 FM 2:30 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, with a repeat broadcast same time on Sunday. Treasure FM 98.5, 6:30 to 7 p.m. in the evening, with a repeat broadcast on Sunday by 5:30 to 6 o'clock in the evening. On Wazobia 94.1 FM, on Saturday evening, the program starts at 5 o'clock to 5:30 p.m. Until next week with another host, remember to always let your manners speak for you. Wishing you a great week ahead.
Don't run the other man down. Don't wish him bad. No, no. There are better things to do. Better pastimes around. Careless talk is not the right way. Love River State or leave her alone. Don't pull her down. No, no. Think what you can do for her. Engage yourself in meaningful activities. No room for gossips. Do something meaningful.